Welcome to the NDE 4.0 podcast, where we ask five questions for a NDE or NDT expert. This is the show for NDE professionals where we dig into the big questions about NDE inspections and digital transformation. Every episode, we ask a NDT expert five questions that can help you do your job better.
Hi, everyone. Today, we are honored to be speaking with Dr. Norbert Mayendorf, who many consider to be the father of NDE 4.0. Dr. Mayendorf coined the phrase back in 2016 as he was determining how to align what was then thought of as Service 2.0 with commonly known Industry 4.0 technologies. Mayendorf is a member of the American Society for Non-Destructive Testing, the German Society for Non-Destructive Testing, and he is a fellow of SPIE, the Society of Photo-Optical Instrumentation Engineers. He was the department head and branch director at the Fraunhofer Institute for Non-Destructive Testing in Germany for more than 20 years, and professor at the University of Dayton, Ohio, and the University of Technology in Dresden, Germany for more than 10 years. Until his retirement in the summer of 2018, Dr. Norbert Mayendorf was professor in the Aerospace Engineering Program at Iowa State University and deputy director at the Center for Non-Destructive Evaluation in Ames, Iowa. He has edited several books, is author or co-author of numerous journal articles, and is editor-in-chief of the Journal of NDE published by Springer. He was chair of the SPIE Symposium Smart Structures and NDE for 4 years, and every year since 2001, he has chaired or co-chaired a conference within this symposium. He still continues to teach as adjunct faculty at Iowa State University, the University of Dayton, and the University of Dresden in Germany. Dr. Norbert Mayendorf, welcome to Floodlight's NDE 4.0 podcast.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
So as you listeners know, our podcast poses five questions to an NDE 4.0 expert, and we focus those questions on a specific expertise of our guest. Dr. Mayendorf, you have been working in NDE 4.0 longer than anyone else, and many think of you as the father of NDE 4.0. So for the first question for today, how did you come up with the term NDE 4.0, and how did the NDE 4.0 initiative begin?
Okay, that's a funny story. Until 2015, I was at Fraunhofer, and Fraunhofer was one of the initiators of Industry 4.0. They created this idea also to get money from the government, to say that industry is now on a point where we have a new important development, new revolution. We call it Industry 4.0. And then in 2016, SPIE asked me to give a plenary talk next year in the symposium there. And I thought, okay, I want to talk about Industry 4.0. I should also say that at that time, we have developed PC-compatible NDE front ends and software, and we used already artificial intelligence for data processing. So we had some ingredients already. And so I said, okay, I will talk about this, and my idea was to create something which says we have a new quality of NDE. And so I said, okay, NDE for the 21st century, Industry 4.0 requires NDE 4.0. The original idea, I must say, came from somebody else. That was a Frost and Sullivan study, which was published in 2015, where the author explains what is the importance of Industry 4.0 for new NDE developments. And he named it NDE Services 2.0. And okay, I said, when we have Industry 4.0, why we don't have NDE 4.0? And so I tried to correlate the industrial revolutions with the steps of development of NDE, and I named it then also NDE 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, and 4.0, and that is where we are now. Then I made a search on the internet, and I asked the internet, Google, the questions NDT, NDE, and Internet of Things, and NDT, NDE, and Industry 4.0, and there was almost nothing. And I said, okay, there must something happen in the next time. This was March 2017. And then it really rapidly happened. Half a year later, the first board of specialists in Germany was founded with One promoter was also Mr. Rana, who also gave a talk, interview here in this podcast. Okay.
Really interesting. I feel like even within the last year since we've been involved in NDE 4.0, I've seen a lot of increased interest across the board, and a lot of people and organizations are starting to get involved. Have you seen the efforts sort of start moving quicker, or that there's a lot more interest? Do you think that the spirit of the effort has evolved in any way in recent years?
Especially the name is now everywhere. Yeah. But I don't know if everybody really understands that is not only a new name for old things, but it's really a completely new way of making NDE. I say it's the way how we apply NDE in the industry. Okay, you want to ask me about benefits? Yes.
Yes. So it does seem like the work around NDE 4.0 has increased in recent years, which is great. But let's move to question number two, which, you know, I'd love to know what you think are the most interesting technologies and associated benefits of NDE 4.0.
So, and I must say, there you have to look for whom and what is behind. And so we have different views on this. Let's start with the usually the industry, the NDE industry, those are the people who make money with industry, with NDE, have a very narrow view on it. Yeah. And but this industry has to follow the industrial trends. So we have to respond to what's going on in the industry. And for I think what's important for these guys is everything about data, creating data, mining data, management of data, remote NDE, and what's also a new thing, NDE data as a value. That means NDE data are important, are a value. And there are, we have concerns, safety concerns about this data. And that is, we will talk maybe later about tools that we need to create such databases and to make comparable results from different providers. Okay, it's another issue. But I think for the, and the other issue for the NDE industry is how, that comes with the next point, how we interfere with industry 4.0. And that is when we say the industry which produces and makes products, and because of product warranty, they have to integrate NDE. They want to sell products, and because they want to sell the products, they need NDE. Usually the industry is not really happy if it costs more than necessary. For them, it's a cost factor. The question is how they can integrate NDE in the cyber-controlled production. So everything is real-time, on-time. Every product can be different, and we have to integrate also the NDE provider into this process. And this has also to be online. And this means a new way of organization of the NDE inspections. And I think we should also look a little bit broader, because when NDE was developed, the safety of products was mainly mechanical issues. Yeah, we have mechanical products, so we have to look for cracks, for defects in materials and components. But when we look on a product today, even a car or an aircraft, then electronics is maybe the key issue, and also software. Today, airlines, aircraft crash because of software mistakes, not because of defects at the turbine.
Right.
Yeah, I think about Boeing now. Yeah, and that means we have to consider this, and also maybe we should ask, isn't there also NDE? Can NDE be broader also to look on safety of the electronics, safety on the software for the whole product? There is nobody now. We have internal software codes when we make software codes, how that we have internal checks. Every software company does it on its own, but there's nobody above who controls these things, who says, wait a minute, how safe is your software? Have you made mistakes? And you have seen this from the FAA that it was not able to check what Boeing is doing with the software there. That means we need also it's a new business. Mm-hmm. Could be NDE, could be somebody else, but according to what NDE was in the past, it should also be something safety of electronics and software. It should be included in our inspections. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Makes sense.
Now, what are the requirements for this industry? First of all, we need the communication between NDE instruments and machines. We need interfaces between NDE instrumentation and production machines, because the idea of Industry 4.0 is every machine talks the other, and maybe the product carries a barcode which says what the final product will be. And on this, every machine does what it has to do. And also NDE has to be involved in this. And this means how the machine can talk to the NDE inspection system. Mm-hmm. Then Internet of Things is important here. There's a very nice movie from IBM, which I always try to show how the Internet of Things affects our life. And at the end, when you look on this, it's all NDE. Mm-hmm. Then what's typical for Industry 4.0, we have a lot of complex individual parts. In the Industry 3.0 and Industry 2.0, we had mass production. We had a lot of similar parts. Industry 3.0, for example, I was at the production plant for Mercedes in Alabama. And there was a lot of robots, and they all were working very fast to create the Mercedes platform. And at the end was a person sitting on a wooden table. And he explained, oh, that is our specialist here as an ultrasonic instrument that makes the NDE. It's not possible. Yeah, everything automated, and then we have a human sitting there and makes the ultrasonics. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, and when we have no individual parts, when we have also problems to judge what is good, what is bad. Usually, we are based on statistics. That means we have reference parts. We make, let's say, we have some reference defects, and we compare the real parts to the reference parts, and we make statistics, PODs, what type of defect we just can detect, and then is this critical for the construction or not. But when we have only a single part, we had this for many years also in materials characterization, we have a single part, and how we can understand the results that we get, how we can quantify the result and make a decision on this. Yeah, one thing is maybe by modeling and using digital twins. That means especially NDE modeling has to be included in the digital twins.
Yeah.
That means NDE people have to talk to these software guys who make digital twins. That all the NDE process has to be in this. And I have created this idea of the so-called machine doctor when I compared medicine and NDE, which has almost the same procedure. Mm-hmm. We have some data files about the history. We have some symptoms, maybe SHM in an NDE or the symptom of a patient. Then the doctor decides what inspection techniques we will use, X-ray, ultrasound, X-tomography, MRI or so. And then the nurse or the NDE inspector gives the results and the doctor makes a decision based on everything we know about the patient. And that is also what we have to do now. We have to make a decision not based on some statistics, but based on the whole knowledge on the parts and material. When we speak about additive manufacturing, then we create the material in the machine. So in the past, we could analyze the material with NDE techniques before we form it and create the final part.
Right.
Now, we create the porosity and the micro cracking, everything in the machine, and we have to characterize this. It's a new quality, it's a completely different task. And what we usually have here in this industry is safety concerns, because all the designs are critical, and especially nobody wants that the others know what the defects are and what are possible safety concerns. That's why this is something which we have to talk about when we speak about the next steps in NDE 4.0, that is, say, how we make data safe enough that no hacker can get access to this, and also no competitor gets the information about the products from the others and other possible defects. Yeah, that means that is the important thing here. Then comes the industry or research where we develop products and processes. And that's also where I was active in the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. And that's innovative. We have not regulated techniques. We can use everything we have, every ideas we can do. Sure. And in microelectronics, for example, 3D volume inspection using nano resolution computer tomography, even atomic, even transmission electron microscopy, TEM, creating tremendous amount of data and make all this data management and comparing this data. I think that is what they are doing. This is also the handling of these big data, all these, when we think about one computer tomographic image, which mm-hmm. is about 16, 20 or more gigabytes. Yeah. When you now think about a microelectronic board and how, and maybe it's the best resolution you can do, it's maybe 2 by 2 by 2 millimeter, which you can image. Now think about a microelectronic board, then we are soon with as several terabyte of data for one piece. Means yeah. that is, but that is where I see the fastest progress right now in this area. Mm-hmm. And then we have the industry who manages NDE, maybe railway companies, automotive, nuclear energy. Historically, this were the drivers of NDE. Yeah. Mm-hmm. First, it was the railway industry. Later, it was aircraft and nuclear power industry. And I think very important for them will be remote NDE using robots. Sometimes these are critical to access locations to inspect. And also, we have not always the specialist on site. So when we use remote, we can integrate a specialist everywhere in the world. Let's say a big company, I don't want to say a name, has a team maybe somewhere in China or somewhere, and they make inspections. And from the home, they can follow what they are doing, also give advices and also interfere with them. Yeah. But the problem here is it's strongly regulated. It's not flexible. And so we have here very slow innovation.
I see.
We could do, but we cannot because we have to follow the rules, because nobody wants to sign a document that things are safe if he didn't follow the rules.
Right, right.
Even if he's 100% certain it is, he will not sign.
Right.
Okay. So and finally, we have another group, and that is new. That are the people who have never heard about NDE, but they use it. You can buy cell phones with infrared cameras. You have on your cell phone a camera, you have a microphone. You can combine a cell phone with a transducer to make eddy current with this. You can buy a small box and attach it to a cell phone to make microwave imaging. Mm-hmm. And it is available for everybody. As they call it then locking through walls or heat leak, finding heat leaks, or make another example, make noise analysis. For example, noise of your car, is there the sound okay? You know, when you hear to the noise of the engine, you know there's something going wrong.
Yeah.
And that are things. And my students and Ames, when I had the NDE groups there, last year, this was about 100 students, and they created about groups of 6 to 8 students, and every group had to develop an idea what you could do with NDE with cell phones. And this was really funny. One group says we use an infrared camera, the camera to see if our steak is well done, which is possible. And it's
that's really interesting.
In a high-end kitchen, you can integrate this because it's maybe $200 or $300. Yeah. And there's other ideas. Yeah. And so that means there are so many ideas. And if we don't do it as NDE community, others will do it, and they will not name it NDE, but it is NDE.
I see. I like the way that you describe NDE 4.0 as so broad. I mean, you sort of take the definition that most people think of, but you've taken it well beyond that when you think about using, you know, having the general public use NDE 4.0 in cell phones, and you talk about software and electronics. I think that's the right way to start looking at it, especially as we move forward with NDE 4.0 concepts. I think that's fascinating. And there's certainly an incredible amount of potential, with NDE 4.0, especially as you start thinking of those broadened areas. Let's go ahead and move to the third question that I have for you today, which is, where do you think the NDT industry is today in terms of achieving the benefits of NDE 4.0?
A long way to go.
Yeah.
And also it depends where you are. When we talk about the NDE in the process and product development, mm-hmm. then we have already components of this. But when we talk about the traditional industry, then mm-hmm. we have these the way how NDE is done today. And I could say we can make it say it with several bullets. So we have traditionally been testing a number of similar components by a trained inspector who follows instructions. He uses certified instruments and makes decisions based on the instructions and rules and standards.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And usually for these decisions behind this are POD considerations, POD concepts. And this is only working for products in Industry 3.0, not in Industry 4.0, because there we have individualized products. Mm-hmm. And so we need somewhere a new way of thinking away from these standards, the standard NDE procedures. And that's what I say, what I always try to say. It's a new way of making NDE. And this is something for the general public, but also in the industry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other side is, and we have the process development, product development. We used already automated X-ray inspection. My first PhD student in 1990, made automated inspection of X-ray images, and we compared a computer against humans.
Mm-hmm.
Computers were winning.
Yeah, I've heard that before. That there's examples of sort of AI beating people, but yet they're still not trusted.
Yeah. The problem at that time was that for cracks, people were better. And the reason is because at that time we had 512 by 512 pixels. And mm-hmm. this was not enough resolution for the cracks. But you can repeat it under, and it's repeatable. When you have humans, it depends if your football game won or lost the last day or so.
Yeah.
And if you had a party the last night or so, and that is not with the machine. You can reproduce this. The problem is then the warranty go to the manufacturer of the machine, of the NDE machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they are so concerned, because when you make this in product warranty and something happens, and it's a failure because the inspector didn't detect it. Yeah. Then, you can make long investigations. Would it be possible or not? We have such an example with this derailment of the train in Italy, where we have these 60 people died there with explosion mm-hmm. of this one cargo tank. But that is human. And so that means you cannot reproduce this. But when you have a machine, then you can reproduce this and you can show that the machine does not see this type of defect. And then not the producer of the product, but the producer of the NDE machine is involved.
Right, yeah.
I can tell you a story about this. When I started my job at Fraunhofer in IZFP in Saarbrücken 20 years ago, there was a company who produced jam, also for the American market.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it happens that there are some pieces of the stones inside mm-hmm. in the jam. And that could maybe create damage in your teeth. And that's sure. why they ask, can we use X-ray to see these parts? Of course you could. And then I thought, it's not simple, but it's possible.
Sure.
And we had a meeting of the standard group for at that time for radioscopy, and that this were all the companies on the table who developed these things. And I was like, yeah, they already asked us all of us. Now they are at your institute because we didn't give them something, because then we pay when the patient has this problem. And said, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it seems like you agree with most of the folks that I've spoken to in previous interviews in the podcast that there's still a long way to go in adopting NDE 4.0 technologies within the industry and that they're slow to adopt changes. And we've sort of been dancing around this topic a bit, but what do you think is the biggest obstacle to achieving NDE 4.0 adoption?
Yeah, there's not one. It's a lot of obstacles. One thing which I always say is cybersecurity. When I speak about NDE 4.0 somewhere, and one of the first questions is, what is about security of our data? Nobody wants that others know about their defects. And nobody wants to know about their maybe secret ingredients in a machine or so, and also the design. That means cybersecurity is a very sensitive point. And then who is the owner of the data? In today's industry, internet industry, when we speak about for example, Zoom or Skype or so, then usually the company who provides the tools for communication says everything that's communicated through our channels belongs to us. Not possible. The other thing is nobody really wants that his data, sensitive data, are somewhere on a cloud from Windows or from Apple, where the servers maybe are in China or anywhere. Nobody really knows where they are. These are things which really we need here, special cyber solutions for the NDE industry. Mm-hmm. That are special requirements. The other thing is harmonizing of data. So that means when we get a different providers from instruments and we produce data, they should be comparable. Mm-hmm. One of my ideas is from ultrasound, let's grade the frequency from, let's say we have a 2 megahertz inspection or 5 megahertz inspection, and we reduce this down to frequency to 200 hertz, 500 hertz. Then we are in the audio range. And then we can maybe use standard tools for digitizing and also for compression of the data, MP3, for example. Mm-hmm. And our MP3 Institute, who develops the code, is also an NDE institute in Germany. They could do this. Another thing, when we have 3D volume images, we can also consider this as a stack of layers of images, which can also be seen as a sequence of frames, which is like a small movie, that we can use movie codes. And why we should do this, first, then we can exchange them. So it means we need converters between these individual codes, which every company has, and they will not change it, to a standard code, which may be compared to others. And we can also, when we use a standard code like MP3 or so, then we can use also standard software to analyze and to handle the data. So that means harmonizing the data. Then one of my problems is that many of the NDE specialists are in my age. That means 60 plus. And they are more looking backward, how nice it was in the last years and what was this when we make this inspection there and there, and don't looking for this to this forward. And we have not too much young people who coming into the business now.
Interesting.
And also the idea of NDE for everybody might be motivate people, young people, to work with us. So, and then you see in my opinion, the public relation PR is not aggressive enough. So we have too much this internal view, but not that this is something which is important for everybody, that everybody who wants to have a safe aircraft or wants to have a beautiful home needs and has to use NDE or has results from NDE and needs this. That's also working with the big companies, with the big software companies, to that they are aware about these things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another thing is we should more have the look right and left. So what is this medical diagnostics? Mm-hmm. Both save lives, we both use the same techniques and the procedure is very, very similar. And why we don't use more procedures that are already successful in medicine? So they are, and we could, I know big some companies do this, that they use products for medicine and convert this to NDE, because mm-hmm. there's much more money for development. And so yeah. that is another thing. Mm-hmm. And then I think one of the big problems is we need more NDE generalists. In the past, it was good to have a good X-ray expert and a good ultrasonic expert. And when in my institute, for example, the industry came to the ultrasonics guy, he makes an ultrasonic solution. When he came to the X-ray guy, he found an X-ray solution. But what we need are generalists who have the overview and not see the NDE as a method, but mm-hmm. as a part of the industry and understand all the methods and can decide what is the best solution for a certain product. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And this needs yeah. another way how we train NDE at school, so that we don't, at schools, usually when we look on NDE classes, we speak of X-ray, ultrasound, magnetic particle, and so on. But yes, the structure is still necessary, but there must be a generalized view. We have a problem to solve. What is the best way to solve the problem?
Yeah, and critical thinking skills, right? Around. Right?
Critical thinking skills, correct, yeah. And then also the present NDE method that we have in the, which is in the inspector's training, is mm-hmm. not where we have the innovation. So you said that I'm the editor of chief in the Journal of NDE, and per year I have 250 papers approximately. And when I look to the last 2 years, only very few, maybe two hands or maybe 10 papers are really NDE. Hmm. Everything else are other innovative things with microwaves, with magnetic memory and with exotic things, which are all solved NDE problems, but is not standard NDE. That means the whole innovation now is not in these areas where we make inspection. So that mm-hmm. means that's what I try to say. We have the NDE industry and we have NDE as science. And these are two worlds at the moment. We have to bring mm-hmm. these two worlds together.
Yeah, I like your thought. It seems like a general theme of basically raising the perspective of NDE, making it broader, trying to develop, bring younger people into the fold. I would think that with Industry 4.0 technologies, with industry, IoT, with robotics, drones, I would think that that would be really appealing to the younger crowd. So hopefully we'll get some young folks into the industry. I agree. So, and I also agree with, the first point you made about the concerns around data security being very real. I've heard that from a variety of different folks that, NDE 4.0 means, just like a lot of things these days, means collecting and analyzing more and better data than ever before. And we've got to come up with ways where product vendors can ensure the, safety and security of that data so that asset owners are willing to adopt these changes and sort of mitigate that risk, because it's sort of a risk versus reward equation at some point, right?
Let me make a remark on this point. It is about materials characterization, because mm-hmm. usually we think about NDE as finding defects, but the other job is to characterize a material, measure stresses, mm-hmm. measure material yeah. properties, and for instance, measure properties which you cannot measure by physics. For example, mm-hmm. when we have a tensile strength, it's yeah. per definition a mechanical test. We try to measure it with NDE, with magnetic techniques. And the idea is, because the movement of block walls is similar to the movement of dislocations, and we see similar behavior in magnetic properties and mechanical properties. So the problem there is, you can characterize this if you have exactly the same material under exactly the same testing conditions and with exactly the same shape and so on. So, mm-hmm. and usually when you have to maybe solve such a case, steps, measurement or so, you have only one part, or maybe a very few parts. So you can never make statistics. And usually most of these calibration procedures, when you look how many parameters you have, by statistics, you must have much more specimens than you usually have.
Yeah.
Sometimes it still works. I talked to some companies who work in this for example, I don't want to say the name here. And they say, yes, we know that the statistics requires more, but it works also with a fewer number of pieces. Mm-hmm. But wouldn't it be much better to have a big database from all types of materials with all possible structures and with then the properties related and use this for the calibration and also for maybe better calibration instead of only empiric and correlated six examples. Mm-hmm. The problem is this is no company wants to give their data to the other.
Right.
Yeah.
But if they did, we'd all benefit, right?
Somewhere it would be a benefit for all.
Yeah.
And that is a process which people have to learn. And this requires a new generation.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, you know, when you have if you have a failure on your computer and you get a question from Microsoft that pops up, do you want to send this data to Microsoft or to Apple or whoever so that they can use that to help figure out what the problems are? It really benefits everybody at the end of the day. But do you want them to know what you were doing? You know,
usually you don't know. That's why I said we need these services, especially for NDE.
Yeah.
Where we know we can trust the service, where we know this, where is the server who keeps my data, who is the person who handles my data, and I have a contract with this person that if this information goes somewhere else, that he is somewhere.
So that
I'm protected with my data.
Yeah.
And that's what we cannot use standard tools which are on the market, because then we don't know where our data end up, what happens with the data. Yeah, and then at the end, I get a lot of maybe commercials suddenly because of whatever information. Then that is not the way we have to go. We have to go here, and this is something which the NDE organizations and also the ASNT, also the European Federation on NDE, they have to put this on their agenda to create such platforms for NDE 4.0, which provides those services. The small company can't. Yes, all these small companies cannot. But this must be something that where everybody trusts the person who handles the data and also provides the processing. And that is really a strange problem.
Yeah, it is a strange problem.
But something for a good startup.
Yeah. So I think standards are definitely necessary, and then just there's got to be a level of comfort with data sharing and you know, all of that. Yeah. So let's move to our final question for today. And as we're entering a brand new year, lots of people are thinking about setting goals for the year ahead. My question five for you, Dr. Mayendorf, is what can we accomplish in 2021 that will have the biggest positive impact on the NDE 4.0 effort?
First, I would say what we have on our agenda and then what in addition to this. So first, I hope that we can complete the handbook of 4.0 from Springer, which we are editing. And I think on the first NDE 4.0 conference in spring, we will have the first papers ready. So that is, I think, the first time that we have such a book, which is not only an NDE book. And it is a book where you can also read about safety of data, about Internet of Things, and all these maybe drones and robots and those things, which you usually not find in an NDE book. But where we hope that we have all the important information that the NDE people need when they want to start to be active in NDE 4.0. That is one thing. The other is public relation, creating the awareness of NDE in the industry, and also with the software developer, the large IT companies. Also, they should be aware of NDE and also have integrated this in their thinking. That means that some people like you, for example, or others who are there in the business, contact them and inform them what's ongoing there, and this is something they should also have an eye on. So then, we need some demonstrators. For example, we have very nice modeling solutions. At the Iowa State, we have NDE modeling software. We have a the NDE modeling software from the French institutes, Shiva, and there are others, and we have to integrate this into the digital twins. We need a demonstrator with a digital twin with NDE included. We not only talk, but really show this. And then we can show in a 3D simulation, in a 3D modeling, look, that is the part, that is a potential defect, that is what the NDE result would be. And so, this is one thing. Then there are NDE conferences, so we have something in this year. We will also have at the SPIE one conference on NDE 4.0. We have also webinars. For example, Johannes Runner has a very nice YouTube tool, which I also recommend in your webinar too. Then specialist boards, we have one at ASNT. We have one at the German NDE organization. And I think in Asia, they have also something now. Mm-hmm. But this should come together. We need also somewhere in a worldwide meeting of the NDE 4.0 specialists. That could be maybe a start for this, could come to this year. Mm-hmm. And when Corona is behind us, then we might have the chance to bring these people together. But we can also do this online.
Sure.
And we had something like this. Rippy, who was also one of your guests in your podcast, he organized such an online meeting with an online discussion. It was very good. And this should something which we should repeat several times this year. And then we have to work on harmonization and data compression concepts. So how we can compare the ultrasonic data from different instruments, from different companies, how we can use standard data analysis software for all of this and exchange this data. So, and then this requires some standard formats. Yeah, that means how we create and handle the data, for example, in X-ray or in the 3D images. It's not only about the pixels or voxels, but also the headers, which information is there included about the material, about the component, what should be there. We have to start to work on this now. And what I already said, we need an independent NDE cloud service.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. This is something for a startup. And another thing, I hope it was my plan at Ames, but I couldn't finalize this, to create a startup for NDE with cell phones, to provide apps and small components. For example, you can buy from the University of Magdeburg an app for any car with a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Works up to 20 kilohertz, but it's for a lot of application, it's fine. It was very good for students' training. I could give this to my students in Ames in the lab class, and with almost no explanation, only a very brief instruction. And after 2 hours, they have completed everything. They have made detection of cracks. They could characterize materials because they are familiar with these tools and how this works. And the first customers would be maybe schools and universities for training classes. Then the next customers might be people at home who want to know if there's corrosion under the paint on the car, or is there a heat leak in the basement or something like this. That means it's a new business, and this also creates maybe another new business to support information. Let's say this idea with the car, where we have record the noise of the car, the engine noise of the car, and have a database of a lot of engines from a lot of cars at the same age and so on, that we can compare the noise and say, okay, this sounds strange, it is different to the normal noise, and it could be probably this or that. And then there should be a person behind who then helps to find the the real reason for this noise, for example, also explains the results that people measure, which could create new businesses.
It sounds like an automated, I don't know if you're familiar with this old NPR show called Car Talk, where listeners would get on the phone and they would describe a noise that they've heard on the car, on their car. Yeah. Yeah. And the two experts on the show would try to tell them what's wrong with the car based on the noise. And it was really a funny, humorous show.
That was the idea. But then you record this with a cell phone and you can directly transmit the signal and can directly get a feedback on the phone and also call an assistant at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah. And another of my students had the idea to make a small scanner for X-ray films. Then you are in the field, simply scan it and send with a cell phone your image to the to a lab at home.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm.
That means, there are a lot of possible ideas with technology from today. And there will also be one of the chapters in our handbook will be cell phones and tablets for NDE.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Which gives everybody in his hand an excellent tool which has more power than maybe an ultrasonic or eddy current device 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Well, excellent conversation today. Thank you so much. The primary purpose of this podcast is to get the word out about NDE 4.0. So hopefully, and start opening up the conversation to a larger audience. So hopefully I'm sure this interview will move us closer in that direction. So thank you so much, Dr. Mayendorf, for sharing your expertise with us. Thanks also to you listeners for tuning into this episode of 5 Questions for an NDE Expert. And folks, you heard the professor. We have our work cut out for us. He's got tons of ideas for where to take NDE 4.0 this year. So let's get to it and have a productive year. If you'd like to reach out and connect with Dr. Mayendorf, we will post his contact information on our podcast page. So please check it out. And thanks again, everyone, for tuning in today. See you next time.
And thank you for the invitation.
For more expert views on NDT, subscribe to the Floodlight Software blog at floodlightsoft.com.